I am delighted that you're listening to the Grow Your Business with Speaking podcast today. I'm your host, Pat Altbader, and we have a great show for you. I'm excited to have Michael Haynes on the podcast with me today. If you need to identify which markets and business customers to grow your business, what products and services to offer, and the best B2B marketing and sales strategies for your company, Michael is your man. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you about speaking and how you use that in your business. So will you share?
Sure, absolutely. So speaking, Pat, is a core part of my own marketing strategy, educating my target audience, which is CEOs and business owners of service-based small and medium-sized businesses. So getting out there and educating them on, you know, the latest trends, what they need to be doing in terms of marketing and sales strategies, growing your business. Speaking is a fantastic way to really educate and to enlighten them as to things they need to be aware about and to start to initiate that engagement to start the conversation. So I use speaking. Speaking, I would say, is a core platform for my strategy, a marketing strategy. And I use speaking in a number of ways. I use speaking in terms of things like this. So being on podcasts that are relevant that small and medium business owners are listening to. So I participate on a lot of podcasts. Doing the likes of live streams as well. So I might be doing the likes of a LinkedIn Live and having a discussion similar to us that we're having with other small business leaders, other experts that may work in certain areas where we can have dialogue and be talking about some of the issues and challenges that are concerned with small, medium business organizations, the leaders of those organizations. I also will do actually what many people think of speaking as the keynote. So being on stage, being in person, or over the last 2 years, it's been primarily on the virtual stage, but doing a keynote on a key topic that is of interest is a great way to get in front of your audience in a large number, not just within your region, but particularly around the world. Yeah. And then also, I would say, finally, workshops is another way in terms of conducting workshops and roundtables are two other events where allow for a little bit more closer engagement, but again, allows me to engage, educate, speak, and interact with my target audience. So I would say those are some of the four primary ways in which I use speaking to build and grow my business.
And so the workshops, tell me a little bit about that. Would that be somebody bringing you in? Or is that yourself initiating a workshop and people are enrolling?
Oh, great. So it can be both. In this particular context, it's talking about me proactively putting out a workshop. For example, I'll be putting out one in November around B2B growth planning for, 2023. So I will organize a workshop. Usually I keep them around, generally I try to keep these kinds of, public workshops, 2.5-3 hours. And it's very important that you structure your content, or knowing who your target audience is and structuring the content around some of the key priorities and key challenges that they have. And with workshops, you want to have them because you want it to be ideally interactive. So you'll be speaking with them, but you want to get some dialogue back, but you also want them to get some kind of clear outcome. So I might have them start working on their overarching roadmap for their business or focusing on some particular aspects of that growth plan other. So they're coming up with a key output, a key deliverable, something that's very tangible that they can use and take back into the office, be their office at home or our traditional in-office, they can take it and use it to move forward. So that's some of the ways, Pat, in which I use workshops.
And would you call a workshop a webinar if it were online?
Webinar is a word that I think people are very somewhat fatigued over. And so workshops can be done in person. I do workshops online as well. But I still tend to call them workshops because I like to keep them very interactive. Because I think having that opportunity where your audience can ask questions, you can engage in some dialogue to their specific questions, that is an important part, I believe, of speaking, of that educating and building that engagement. So I do workshops as opposed to some people do webinars. I don't do a lot of them. I tend to have them more in a workshop setting where we could be like here on Zoom. It'll be screens on and we're interacting and engaging. I'm educating, but there's question and answers, and sometimes even a little bit of a mini roundtable mastermind or a roundtable discussion as well.
And not so much selling at the end.
No, it's really for me, there's no selling. It is all about the experience, education, interacting and engaging. There may be, I will leave them to opportunities in terms of other ways they may wish to engage me, you know, through content. So I will maybe suggest some other ways, but it's all for me around the education and the interacting, because business leaders, business owners are really looking to see what they can learn and ask their questions. And it's all about helping them to take their businesses forward towards their goals and their objectives.
Yes. And so if you were doing one of the keynotes, for example, how would you follow up with the participants? Would you have a way of getting their emails, or what would you do to be able to continue the conversation with those people that attended?
Okay, so great question. So when you're doing the likes of keynotes, with any form of speaking, you do want to have some call to action, way people can further interact and engage with you. I think your determining factor should be based on your understanding, what are the outcomes, what are the challenges that your audience is addressing of the topic of interest? What additional tools, guidance can you give them, or further opportunities to engage you to help them? So you might want to leave things past. I've left things like templates to plan your own business growth strategies, checklists so that folks can, you know, check off and understand where they're at in terms of a respective topic. I've often provided other opportunities to engage. So let's say it's a big keynote with a much larger audience. Another call to action, I might say, I might be offering a roundtable session with a much smaller group of people so that there can be some further discussion around particular areas and a more intimate engagement. So that could be something else as well. I've left, it could be leading them to my website where they could listen to other podcast interviews. So it's all about, in terms of that follow-up, what sorts of additional value, or what are the opportunities you can provide for them to interact, engage, and experience and gain additional value from you. That's really how I try to factor in, you know, what I leave as giveaways, per se, at the end of a speaking engagement. Also providing them the opportunity to sign up if you've got some kind of email list so that you can continually to periodically send them your newsletter or relevant piece of information of interest. I always provide them the opportunity if they want to sign that up as well. But generally,
how would you do that? How would that happen? Tell me what that looks like.
Well, I tend to, when I'm doing my speaking, I tend to focus on what are some next specific things that I want them to do. So I might say you could sign up for my growth planning toolkit, which will have a, let's say, checklist planning template. There's that they can get. With the last conference that I did earlier back in March, there was also an opportunity to sign up for a workshop. Yeah. So it was a short 90-minute workshop that they could sign up to, where we're going to look at, particularly, I think, around techniques around business innovation. So there's a business innovation workshop, and we're going to work through and helping them to develop their innovation plan for their company. So I like to leave them specific tools and or specific actions where they can actually take action. So it could be about getting resources or another opportunity to engage and interact, to learn more, to have some closer interaction with myself so we can ask more deeper questions, more specific questions to their business.
Yes. And so if you're sending them to your website to get this gated, is it gated content then? So they have to give their email in order to get the checklist that you're telling them they should go get?
Well, yeah.
So then you get their email. And then what happens? Do you do a specific email campaign to those people that participated, or are they just added to your email list and they get your newsletter and other communications you send out?
Chances are, because I tend to, with my marketing calendar, there'll be relevant themes that I have based, I know, on what are kind of the key issues around. So yes, they will be added to the email list, but my email list is very much structured around some of the key topics and challenges that business folks, B2B folks need to be made aware of. So they'll sign up to so that they can receive that particular resource planning kit, for example, and then they can also sign up for the newsletter, put into the newsletter as well, so they can get ongoing news and tips as to other events, what's coming up, other resources I may have for them.
Yeah. And do you have any one tip that you think would help people to really convert more audience members into clients?
Okay, well, a couple of things. I think some of it comes up on the front end in terms of planning for speaking. One, you want to make sure that you identify, you know, the right target audience. And so making sure you've got the right target audience, making sure that you're topic for your workshop or your talk is very clear, very dialed in, and people are very clear as to what they're going to be getting, so that you're getting hopefully the right kinds of people that are having that particular issue at that point in time or that it's coming up. In terms of actual, you know, getting them to sign up or take the next step, B2B buyers, and I've said this before in some of our previous discussions, they do a lot of self-education and research, and they undertake a number of steps as part of their buying process. I do think you want to be cautious and do not assume workshop today doesn't automatically mean sale tomorrow. Workshop today, I'll attend your workshop, may mean that they may want to attend, they may want to get more of your, go through more of your content. So they may want to use that template. They may want to attend other events. So they may want to come up to the next CEO roundtable where they can then further ask questions and gain some dialogue. So I think you want to be thinking about it. I think of it in terms of how to generate hopefully the next step to for further interaction and further engagement as opposed to the next sale. Because Pat, there have been some studies done. There's a colleague in over in Europe and Poland who has studied the number of interactions it has taken from webinar right through to, you know, initial three-day strategy workshop. And there are quite a few interactions post that webinar that the person did. There were a few meetings, people were checking out content. There are a number of different interactions that had occurred. I think there must have been 7 or 8 before it came to the actual sale. So you cannot assume that keynote, workshop, what have you, is going to lead to a sale. You really want to think of the sale really as what next step I can lead them to, hopefully to further engage and further interact. That's kind of from the mindset that I tend to use in terms of working towards acquiring new clients. What's the next step I can get them to get further involved, to get exposed to me, know what it's like to work with me, build that trust, as they say. And then if that's the answer, that's how I tend to work.
Yes, that reminds me of a sales training from 20 years ago where they would go, the purpose is to get the appointment. The first step is get the appointment. Then the next step is, you know.
Yeah, it's all about the next step. Yeah. And I think that all the next step is where you can give opportunities for interaction, to further interact for them, to further experience and engage working with you. I think that's really what you want your... That's how you want to be thinking about it. So your upfront planning is very important in terms of what's your talk, who your target audience is, what's your talk. And then, as we've been discussing, the follow-up is quite important as well, and giving them opportunities to have further opportunities to experience, engage, and interact with you.
Yeah, great. And so can you just give me a little insight into finding speaking engagements, the ones that are sponsored by somebody else?
Okay, yes, that's a great question. And that's where a lot of work really needs to be done. You want to be doing research probably well in advance. I would say I would advise probably looking out at least 6 months ahead, and depending on the types of events, because the bigger the events are, the lead time can even be much longer than that. But you definitely want to be doing your research at least 6 months in advance, based on having a very clear understanding of the target audience, who you want to be drawing in to attend this event. And so you might be using the likes of your industry and professional association websites. I always think is a great place to start, because your industry and professional association websites, they're the repository for everything that's going on in your industry. And so there's lots of research there. They will have a listing of a lot of events that are coming up that the industry themselves, that association may be hosting, but also what other events that are relevant to that audience group. So industry and professional associations are quite relevant. Similarly, your industry and trade publications can be extremely useful and valuable as well. So that's another place you may go for speaking opportunities. Some of your chamber of commerce, some of the larger chamber of commerce often have fairly robust programs where they're doing lots of things, where they're putting out content. They've got breakfast forum, after work drinks, they run seminars. They maybe host an annual seasonal big key event. So connecting in with the members of those chambers, finding out what they're doing is quite important. And again, getting in early is important because they often have a program of what events that they're doing. But that's often a good source where you can get your target audience, and you can maybe plan to do a couple of different style events. You might have a breakfast forum, workshop. You might want to host, you know, drinks after five drinks and do that, let's say, once a quarter or so. And then they often will have publications, their own newsletters that you can leverage in terms of putting out some of your content to gain attention, to put some advertising in about the actual events as well. So yeah, I would say, yeah, your industry professional associations, publications. If you've got contacts with any members of boards, so any executive boards, often reaching out to them and finding out, you know, is that, you know, for that board, are they going to be hosting any kind of workshops, seminars, what have you? Because some of the board members, yeah, they may be aware of what's happening for that particular board, but also the board members themselves also then may want to say, well, actually, you're talking, Pat, about this topic. I'd actually like you to come speak at my company and do something. So that would be another area as well. So those are just some initial tips. But really, that is really one of your key things that you need to be doing in terms of success is doing your research in advance and identifying the right kinds of organizations, understanding who to talk to as well in terms of being able to identify the opportunities that may be available. And those are just some of the ones listed that may be of value. And then also in advance, having some workshop, some speaking topics that you're going to talk about. So it's important to know your target audience, but you want to have some ideas, whether it be, you know, for your, it's going to be a keynote or if it's going to be workshops, what are some of the topics that you're going to talk about? And having a couple of them, I would say having at least three in mind, because depending on timing and what the organization is dealing with, one topic may be more preferred or another. So if you can have 3 to 5 topics of these are some of the things I could talk about or give a workshop to, that would be useful as well.
Yeah. And do you change your topics, especially now with so much change going on in the environment? Have you been changing your topics a little?
I have a few topics that are available that I will talk on. And it's all based on, again, you want to be basing the topics that you should be doing should be based on what's going on within your market in terms of the target customers and clients that you're going after. For me, I'm seeing a lot of very similar questions around, you know, where are the growth opportunities to grow my business? Michael, how do I develop products and solutions that will generate recurring value, recurring revenue for me? That's often a big one. People are having struggles in terms of not feeling that they're getting any ROI from the various marketing, often tactics as opposed to plans that they're implementing.
Yes.
So that's another one. How to really get a clear understanding of the priorities of today's B2B buyer. So what do business customers want? They're having a hard time doing that. How to innovate. They're looking for ways to really kind of, you know, change up the business. What are the ways that they can be doing so that it's going to be relevant in a B2B context? So those are some of the questions that I've been getting quite regularly. So hence, those are some of my speaking topics. So I try to make the topics that are available that a event organizer, podcast host, conference holder wants to have me conduct. I will always have them really based around what's kind of the current topics of the day. Oh, and another one, how to do strategic planning in volatile, uncertain environments. That's the other, that's the other one that's come up quite a bit as well.
And what do you think about collateral? What sort of collateral, like a website or speaker one sheet, do you think speaker in a or a demo reel? What do you think is important for speakers to have?
I think having on your website where people can get a sense of, you know, well, who you are, you know, what sort of speaking you do, what sort of topics that you will talk on. So again, that's a very important and great place to list what your topics are, how they can get in contact with you. Having a speaker reel is fine. It's probably not a bad idea if they can get a chance to see you talking. So you might have that on your website. Well, I suspect you should have that on your website, whether it's on your homepage and it's a welcome, a quick welcome discussion, or there should be other, you know, examples, be it, you know, you might have a video clips from keynotes, or if you've been on previous podcasts, you should have examples there that people can get access to hear, you know, what you speak on and how you speak. So they get a sense of your style, your energy, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And what about the speaker one sheet? Is that sort of old school now?
I think speaker one sheet is very good because it's where you can have, quick snapshot so people can get all the vitals of who you are, what's your expertise, what you're going to be talking about, how to get in touch with you, a bit of your background, where you can provide that quite easily in a succinct format is quite beneficial.
Good. Great. Well, thanks. You have provided so much information. It's really been fabulous. Is there any other thing that you can think of that I didn't ask about?
No, I think you've covered it all. I mean, the other thing you will want to be thinking about in terms of when you're conducting any kind of speaking engagement is you are going to want to be thinking about the marketing involved. So doing your research and identifying your target audience and then determining what that event is going to be. That's great and that's very important, but then you need to be thinking about the marketing that you're going to need to be doing leading up to that event. And you do want to give yourself, I would say, a good 4 to 6 weeks in terms of how you're going to be doing your marketing. Again, making it align with who your target clients are, your target audience, and where they go for information, and planning out an appropriate marketing strategy, which often, talking from a business perspective, we're talking about business speaking, you do want to give them, making it content-led, content-driven, so that you're dropping some ideas of did you know, things you've thought about, and planting some insight and giving them some aha moments in terms of the content that you're providing is really good to help initiate that awareness and that interest. Ask you, okay, well, what's that event about? So you really want to spend some time planning out your marketing strategy, both pre the event, so leading up to get people, but then also as we've been talking to as well, what are going to be those follow-up activities and things you're going to be doing post the event as well.
Yeah. So your workshop that you have coming up in November. So you'll start marketing that workshop in mid-September?
Oh, probably. Yeah, later in September. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing a workshop in November. It'll be an online virtual workshop for SMBs on business planning, your B2B planning, your growth plan. So your 2023 business growth plan is a workshop I'll be doing in November. So yes, I'll start marketing for that. You'll probably from late September, I'll start be putting some content out there on social media through my email list, through some business publications as well, of things you need to be thinking about and just on different topics, like, you know, what are some key steps in your business growth planning, things to be thinking about, what are some of the necessary components. So I'll start drip feeding some of that content as we lead up through October and then start promoting the actual event itself as well.
And who's the target market for that?
So the November B2B growth planning workshop is aimed at SMBs, so business owners, leaders of small and medium-sized businesses who are operating or looking to operate in the B2B context, how to put their growth plan for 2023 together. Yeah. So really getting clear on getting an understanding of where they're at and what are some of the key things they need to do around those key activities, around understanding your markets, understanding your customers, what their needs are, how are we going to innovate and deliver to those, and what are going to be some of the plans and approaches to grow the business and really gain those clients and those clients and customers, and hopefully that will increase sales and acquisition that we seek.
Yeah, that sounds fabulous. Look forward to looking for your social media content on that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with me. How can people find out more about you?
A great question. So for those who want to find out more about, the November growth planning seminar or more content generally around B2B, around marketing, sales, product growth strategies, go to my website, listeninnovategrow.com. So that's listeninnovategrow.com, one word. And also connect with me on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. It was great talking to you. I appreciate it.
Great speaking with you again, Pat. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.